Hey gang, it's Rick. So it's been a while. We sort of took an unintentional hiatus from the podcast because we felt like we got stuck in the whole every episode is about a movie thing, which started to feel, gimmicky somehow, or limiting. Maybe limiting is a better word. I don't know. When you start a podcast, it feels like you have to come up with some unique hook or angle or whatever to separate yourselves from all the others that exist in. And while we were the first ever podcast to pick movies as the subject, which we can all agree was very innovative and cutting edge, it kind of sucked because we had to funnel all our riffs and cultural commentary and good stuff through the lens of whatever film that half the people who listened to the show had never heard of anyway. And I don't know, in the interest of making things more interesting and dynamic, we are retooling a little bit on the fly. We had a handful of episodes recorded that were kind of too reliant on the listener having seen whatever weird movie we were going to talk about it in order for it to not be boring. And in the future, there will definitely be an avenue for that sort of thing because we know a lot of you really dig that. But for now, we scrapped all those except for the shit we did with our favorite Texas gentlemen, Paris and Beaumont from Western Promises. Go check out their podcast and subscribe at patreon.com/Western Promises. And as we get into it, the subject matter we discuss is very solemn and deserves to be treated with the utmost reverence and respect, and they were the only two guys we could trust with that level of sensitivity. As for us Clout Theater boys, we're actually pretty excited about the stuff we've got in the pipeline. You're going to see a lot of shit on the horizon once we get the hang of things. We're talking more riffs, more guests, more cultural critiques, esoteric history. Tanner's going to be doing more of his weird video shit. My girlfriend keeps telling me to start a cooking TikTok. Who the fuck knows? As always, we appreciate you sticking with us. It really means a lot hearing people say that they dig the show and the content, so please sound off in the DMs with feedback because we do listen to it mostly. Until then, I leave you with Cuties featuring Western Promises. Thanks.
You see the mini bean I posted at the library?
Yeah, where was that?
Library.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. You've never been there, but
I don't know. With movies, not books.
I love the bean is kind of a gimmick, I guess, but I do like it. I like the bean. I like standing under the bean.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Do they clean the bean?
They have. Apparently, I think at least during COVID, I think they said they disinfected it every 12 hours.
Really?
No, I swear to God, I think I read this because like they wanted to keep the parks open because it's outside and you know that's money or whatever.
Wait, but, squeegee?
Yeah. No, honest God, I think they get a guy to like with a big long squeegee.
I want that job.
Yeah.
That sounds so satisfying.
Yeah, like $6 an hour.
They give him suction cups so he can get the whole bean.
Well, that makes me feel better that the bean, the city of Chicago, has the same cleaning regimen as Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
They should have like a little paper towel dispenser and a squirt bottle next to the beans. After you're done, you wipe it off yourself.
DIY Planet Fitness style.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Or just have Lori Lightfoot hanging from a crane above it.
Uh-huh.
Like a little baby.
Like the window walk. Washer from the lighthouse, you know, the little harness thing.
I would love to see Lori dressed up as like a chimney sweep from the old.
That would be good. Yeah. Top of the morning, governor.
Oh, man.
Okay. So we're here with Western Promises. And you know, we're discussing a movie that I think deserves a great deal of gravity and sort of a serious subject matter that we want to treat with the respect it deserves. So, of course, we had to go to the boys from Western Promises to get that. Thanks for coming on, fellas. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been stoked about this. This is the crossover of the year so far.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And what was your exposure to Cuties before this? Had you seen it? Had you protested outside Netflix studios.
Yeah, I was calling people pedophiles about this.
Okay.
Previous.
Sure.
Yeah, so I watched it on an iPad at a Chuck E. Cheese. I went there. I propped it up there. So I, you know, when people got so mad at me, I thought, man, there must be something to this. I should look at it again.
Yeah, all Google great this. Art provokes. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think I saw. Yeah, initially I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know it was a French movie. I thought it was some American pageant, child pageantry movie that people just got up in arms about. Yeah. And to be fair, it looked pretty, looked like it should be prompting that reaction from people from like the way they advertised it.
Right.
But yeah, I was just kind of interested in the controversy and the fact that it stayed on Netflix after the fact.
Right. They really stood by it.
I was curious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just
I was definitely curious about it because yeah, I mean, like, that was really my only exposure. And I do think that the advertising campaign was intentionally controversial, right? Or, like, provocative.
Yeah. I mean, I think they kind of saw that as a maybe a happy accident, you know? Because I think they ended up changing some of it. But, you know, I think they just liked the numbers going up in terms of people talking about them in some capacity. And obviously, yeah, you know, because the stock's kind of down now, so I don't know how well that worked. But you're right.
Yeah, the preview image now is just, I think, the main girl's face. It isn't like them in their dance outfits or anything.
Right. So. Yeah. Which it's really funny. Like the director tried to distance herself from the controversy and like put it all on Netflix. She was like, yeah, I didn't approve of this poster. I didn't see it. But then you watch the movie and you're like, the poster is basically a still from the final dance number at the movie.
Yeah. So
like,
yeah.
If you have a problem with the poster, like it's just images from the movie, essentially, just sort of reframed and like repositioned.
I think it's funny, just touching on the fact that it's French, that the French version, like the way you say the name of the movie in French is Minions. Right? I mean, am I wrong? Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
I just, wait, what?
Well, because it's called like Mignons. It's like Mignons.
Like filet.
Right. Like filet mignon or Minions, which I just kept cracking up at that when I was watching.
This was a much better version.
So I asked you, I watched a dub. What did you guys watch?
Oh, dub. Yeah. You watched dub?
Yes.
I watched dub.
Really? Oh, I did sub.
I wanted it in its genuine, authentic.
I've read too many people arguing about anime on the internet.
The dubs are subs debate with cuties or minions rather.
Well, see, I figured Beaumont would sort of take the pretentious and watch it subtitled. So I thought I would do the like all American sort of down home Netflix watching and watch it dubbed.
Yeah, they have Mindy Kaling voicing the main girl.
I don't know, dude. I think in like the first scene. Or like early in the movie, the Amy, the main girl's mom sounded Nigerian as fuck. But then I feel like they like abandoned that.
Oh, really?
And then she just sounded more normal.
That's interesting.
The dub is god awful. Like it's really bad. And like the second time I watched it with subtitles, and the English subtitles like so often do not match up with the English dub. But that like you don't know which. Fucked up, like is the subtitles fucked up or is the dubbing just so bad that like they're just not saying the right lines?
Well, what is it, like idioms or like how does it not
just like saying entire like the meaning is essentially the same but like using entirely different
lines? Because I think a lot of times with subtitles they kind of like I don't know pare down on the actual words and summarize the dialogue. I feel like
it's beyond that even.
Well, you should probably watch it again the right way.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of shocked because Tanner is sort of the movie appreciator between us. You know, I don't know much about film, so kind of funny that we're all here.
So
frankly,
I went to my streaming site, and that was all they had.
Oh, sure.
And so, I wasn't going to. I didn't want to download Cuties onto my computer.
That's true.
I don't need that.
Yeah, if I get up suddenly and my screen goes to black, it's because I've hit the kill switch on my, my computer.
Yeah. The FBI found you. Yeah.
My only experience with Cuties was watching. I saw Hassan go to a protest in LA and do like a live stream. Like that was the only thing that I had seen.
I bet that was good.
He was counter protesting.
Yes, he was counter protesting, saying like, "Hey,
so he was on the protest.
Is okay." He was like, "Yes," but yeah, it was just like a dumb sort of like all gas no brakes sort of like ripoff thing he was doing.
For sure. I'm so sick of those, to be honest. People that just go gawk at goofy protests and like, man, the world's already doomed. I don't need a reminder.
That's what it was. It was just like making fun of people who are like, you know, I think somewhat like rightfully upset about a movie, like probably for the wrong reasons, but like, you know, he's just sort of going out there to gawk.
That is the meat of the issue, like, and I'm interested to hear your takes on it because I think Tanner and I kind of had different takes on whether or not it is like the counter response is proportionate or not, I suppose.
I think that the response, the reaction to it, if you will, was basically just to the advertising campaign because. I mean, if you watch, like, I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised by how much I enjoyed the movie. And I think that the movie was, I mean, a lot of it was about like how weird and fucked up the like,
yeah, sex, right.
Like, kids, like preteen girls sexualizing themselves because, I mean, they don't fully understand what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're just like doing what, I mean, the movie is about that. So yeah. Like, I, you know,
I mean, the way I phrased it was like, if there is an enemy in this film, it is like the algorithm, right? And just the allure of, you know, this empty capitalism that people are subjected to and how it is just tailor made to suck in, you know, young children and to debasing themselves. And I think it's not really a grand societal evil or pedophile cabal. Although, you know, of course, I think we'd all agree that exists in one way or another. But I don't know. I like, because it just seems like the first half of the movie is just so sexless to me. You know, it's not until like she cracks the code and starts like and sees the twerking video and is like, oh, we got to start doing that. That's when you start to get those like fucking gross shots of like their butts and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
No, but even before that, you had the like Hispanic girl who looking like Michelle Lopez in the
bathroom. Yeah. That's
like,
true. Yeah.
Or like ironing her hair.
Yeah, they intentionally shot that so you couldn't tell it was like a. Like it could
he
be
was supposed to think she was
right.
Yeah,
they do like an Andy Warhol thing. Yeah.
Did you notice that in the twerking video, one of the girls had a Jared Leto Joker tattoo on her ass?
No, no. Shit. No. Had a Joker, like episode art. We got it. Hell yeah.
Amazing.
Damn, that's
could
amazing.
Not,
that's
I could awesome. Not believe it.
See, yeah. We got are either you guys? This is a tangent. Are either you guys basketball fans?
Yeah, I like basketball. I haven't been keeping up, but I enjoy some NBA from time
well,
to time.
Well, yeah, us I like Chicago Bulls fans have DeMar DeRozan, who has the Heath Ledger Joker on his shoulder, and so whenever I'm watching basketball broadcasts, it just cracks me up every time I see it.
He has it on his shoulder. It's
yeah,
very prominent.
Right. On one side he has like his, I think it's like his dead mom or something, and then on the other side it's just Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah, his dad on the other side.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But
no, I think you're confused. It was Jared Leto and Margot. Yeah.
But okay, so Tanner, you were saying that you kind of had a different read on it.
Yeah, I think so. Like I think that there is like a very like good idea like within Cuties, and I think there's like definitely like a good movie to be made about like, you know, women's and girls' oppression like between like traditional like Muslim like, you know, censorship and yeah. like Western like objectification, and like I think that's like what Cuties like really wants to be, but like I think my like biggest problem with it is the way in which like I think Cuties like eventually like devolves into like becoming like what it hates. Mm-hmm. And I think that like eventually stems from like just like not, I just don't think that like she's a good enough filmmaker, and like ends up sort of like defaulting to like very much like a sexualized like leering gaze with the camera that like, you know, there's a point, you know, the first time that they film the dancing when Ami, when she's not like dancing with them yet, and like, oh, she's going to come hang out with us and film.
Yeah.
And there's a point where, you know, you think, initially when I was watching, I was like, oh, the director's going to do something like really smart here. And you're kind of like stepped back from like this very neutral view, like even behind her filming and not really like even like watching them doing this like sexual dance. Yeah. And then instead like cuts into like these like really like close, like uncomfortable shots of like their mm-hmm. bodies and, you know, things like this. And I think that just sort of stems from like, okay, this director didn't have ideas, and then just sort of like filling the frame
okay.
with something
interesting.
And you know, something that sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, like, I definitely see where you're coming from, but I ended up turning the like sort of turning the corner on that, where I felt that it kind of circled back around to being effective for me, because it was almost like it was so uncomfortable. Like it's obvious it was super uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
fucking Christ almighty,
like,
yes,
preteen girls like asses in the middle of this
uh-huh. yeah
but it's like it's it gets so uncomfortable,
yeah,
that it sort of forces you to accept it, that it for what it is, and that it's like not like it is super uncomfortable, but it's just like it's a child, like it's someone doing something that they don't fully understand, like it what it means to us is not what it means to the character.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I think that it almost kind of ended up working for me, though I like, it's not like, I mean, obviously a lot of those shots like went on long, but I yeah. think that ended up being effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had a similar feeling where I thought like this movie, there's so much about it that I like, and I think it does a really good job of, especially from the beginning, where it's showing like Ami struggling to come to terms with the fact that she's not okay with like the direction her family's going.
Yeah.
And that she's like being kind of pulled into this religious organization that maybe she doesn't, she like looks over at her brother who's like getting to play and do whatever he wants while she has to kind of be subjected to mm-hmm. certain things in this organization. But then I feel like the movie almost does itself a disservice by, like you were saying, like it didn't show, all the dancing scenes weren't like showing her filming with the shitty iPhone camera. It was like they were getting choreographers and people zooming in on yeah. the asses of these 11-year-olds.
$1 million drone shots for the fucking vagina scene.
So I was talking to my girlfriend about it while we were watching, and I thought, like, does it do itself a disservice by having so many of these shots in it? Mm-hmm. And I came away with it really liking the movie. But I felt kind of torn in two ways about it. If I could tell that if those were aiding in the message it was trying to get across, or if it was detracting from it in some way.
Uh-huh.
I think that's something I liked about it, is that it did sort of pushed at something.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't sure if it was effective or not. And like you were saying, is it just sort of reveling in this leering gaze, or does it do something with that? Does it make it kind of work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That does lead me to another aspect of the movie that I wanted to talk about, is that another thing that I really appreciated was that I thought that it didn't, at first I was really worried that the Muslim traditional family stuff was going to be like super heavy handed.
Yeah. I was looking for like a Reddit style 2008, like atheist thing, and, which, you know, to be clear, like being a Senegalese woman doesn't seem like any fucking fun, to be honest. But
right.
Like, no. I was glad they pulled back on that.
Cause there is that first scene where it's like, let us like take like the most like I forget what she said when they're having their first scripture reading.
It's just the most hardcore dogma about like paying like devotion to your husband. And
yes, and how like that's like that should be an honorable thing as a woman. Yeah. And it's like, but then that does sort of like eventually fade away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they cut Bill Maher's entire role. Out.
That's true.
It was a lot more critical.
Yeah, he was the leader of the local Jewish community. in out of town.
Oh man.
But I thought it was effective because it showed sort of at times the value and the downsides of the sort of traditional family structure and like religious.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I took away from it was that I think maybe the director, who is a Senegalese woman herself, is trying to say is that like there's just so many of these traditional modes do not have an answer for again the algorithm and just this predatory nature of the free market that it's like every technological point is trying to like monopolize more of like young people's time and eyes, and and in doing so a lot of it takes very increasingly dark turns. And I think going back to what we said briefly about like the gaze of the film is, I think, you know, I was also very, I guess, kind of, I resonated with the fact that they go on for an uncomfortably long time. And I think a lot of how it is like choreographed and, you know, the dance scenes are kind of, it meant to look good and like they're good at like imitating these twerk music videos is part of it's because it's like through her eyes, right? Because when they do the dance scene on like the French version of the Joker's staircase, you know what I mean? it goes on too long, and it's like there's these very tight shots on their crotches, and it's like gross, right? But then the next scene transitions, and it kind of pans on her looking through her phone, which to me was kind of like, oh, okay, well, maybe we're supposed to like, we're looking at their dancing through her eyes as somebody who idealizes this sort of performance and has a completely different view of it being, I don't want to say empowering because that, I don't think that's what they want, but just like cool, like a hot, mature thing for a girl her age to do, when obviously we know it's not, but she doesn't.
But it shows you sort of their perspective of it. It like reminds you that it is like, if you're just looking at what they're doing, it is like weird to watch as like an adult person, but they're like playing and having fun.
Yeah, that's the
like
thing.
Kids and especially girls like dance.
Right. Yeah,
and a lot of that becomes like more sexual than it is understood to be by the people actually doing it, because they're imitating older people or popular culture.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, at the same time, like kids should have that freedom to play.
I agree. Yeah, I mean,
without like, you know,
yeah, That's the thing. It's like the things they are doing, none of those things are, I mean, you could argue depending on whatever, but like that objectionable. Kids play around like that and kids imitate things they see all the time. Mm-hmm. And it even, I thought the movie did a good job of showing them be like very aggressive and acting very precocious and older than they are. And then it would cut to them like playing with a condom and not knowing what it
was. Trying to clean AIDS out of their mouth with soap.
Yeah, and then using like soap and water. And then they were like having like gummy bear eating competitions where like, these are children.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting. We're talking about like how social media is kind of like demonized this movie, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But I thought it's interesting. It's a conversation I was having a while back where it used to be like culture and coolness as a child was all downstream from like your older brother or your friend's older brother. Yeah. And it like took a while for that stuff to come down to you. And now I feel like they've recognized, I mean, you know, companies and marketing that you can market to a much wider set. If you're selling, you know, Kim Kardashian makeup palette mm-hmm. brushes or whatever to 12-year-olds and to 31-year-olds, you have a much wider audience. Uh-huh. And so now you have like those those like clothes they were wearing were made for 11-year-olds, but they, you know, they were definitely sexualized, like little booty shorts and crop tops and things like that. So it was very weird to see that they could immediately just see what is cool and they could watch these older dancers and just immediately copy that. It's scary that you have access to that and can be so easily influenced by it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I.
But it's almost like,
go ahead.
You know, the influence of the internet. Sorry to interrupt, but I will steamroll you. The influence of the internet in, it does like cause that in a way because that's where that like influence is coming from. But if you take the internet out of the equation, then there's really not that. And there's not that much bad about what they're
doing. The stakes are immediately lowered, you know, because I think with just the age of social media, everything is just so immediately escalated at all times. Like, I remember when I was in like seventh grade, and this was like the advent of cell phone, like camera phones, where I didn't have a cell phone, but like people were starting to. And there was like some big controversy over some woman who had sent like a nude, or not woman, fellow seventh grader, to be clear, but a teacher. And
well, you see in Senegal.
And so like, it was just obviously the hot goss of the day that like some guy got a tit pic and how, you know, frankly impressed we were at the time, obviously,
especially at a boy school.
No, like this was, I was all boys high school. This was a co-ed middle school.
Okay. Gotcha.
But,
They pick one boy to be the girl for the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, just give him fucking water balloons. He's got
to
walk around.
Did y'all get up into any sus shit there?
Oh, boy. I mean, in what regard? Like gay stuff?
You know what I mean.
I wasn't molested, or if I was, I don't remember.
Well, that's not what I meant. I do think it's interesting you immediately made it.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, and Tanner and I were talking about this earlier, that like, every kid in America of a certain age, our generation, I should say, like, has one of those stories of like, I feel like, of technology like being a new thing and then going wrong for some poor kid, you know, and just fucking up their life. Right.
Right. Yeah. Like you and I have talked many times how there are still like, you know, if I'm like, I'll hop on Facebook maybe like once a month and people from high school who I've like forgotten about, it like will pop back in my memory and there will still be like, oh, that's the girl whose nude got leaked and everyone made fun of her nipples and she was just called like pepperoni nips for 4 years. Like, and
for
she
me,
probably
it was,
still
it was,
like thinks about that.
Oh, and now she's the mayor of Chicago. A real meteoric rise.
I feel like that's something haters about motivate. Going to high school in a very specific time because there was only one girl who had the nudes leaked. You know what I mean? Like for me, it was the exact same thing, but it was roast beef.
Ah, yes. You know what I mean?
It was like long labor.
Right. Because I mean, people are just, they can be so absolutely cruel.
Yeah,
and like you know, those get passed around and like currency among like your fellow boys,
right? I just love how the entire vocabulary for saying mean things to girls in seventh grade is just Italian restaurant items. Like, hey, get a load of spumoni ass over here, you know?
Yeah. We were so excited when Arby's had a new menu item. Fresh new burn. Yeah, get over here, potato wedge.
Yeah, I know that thing be dripping horsey sauce.
Yo, do y'all did y'all ever do the 5 for 5?
Oh, brother, did
five
I?
For five,
dude.
Oh, is this a
these guys like, don't know
drinking your classmates come or I'm trying to figure
five
out
five Arby's sandwiches for $5.
Do they have five different sandwiches? I thought it was just like the cheddar mouth.
No, you get five of the same one.
But no, Arby's is insane. I haven't been there in a while, but last time I went. Yeah. The roast beef sandwich is like menu item number 17.
No
like
shit.
They have completely lost the thread on what people like about Arby's. It's wild.
Yeah,
out
see
there.
That's another thing about like fast food today is I feel like all the niche spots like have just been market researched to death, and now like Taco Bell is basically doing like Egg McMuffins at breakfast.
Yeah.
You know.
I hate
and
that.
It's like, where's your soul? You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, are you?
Yeah.
It's gonna stoop this low.
You want to talk about? You want to talk about the soul of Taco Bell being gone? Let me tell you a story. I drove to my local Taco Bell the other night, completely sober.
Yeah.
And I go into the drive-thru, and you know, like the lights are on and everything. The store is open. I checked on Google Maps before I went. You know, like it's open.
Yeah.
I go into the drive-thru, and like no one greets me over the microphone, which is okay. I know that it happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to prompt them, to prod them a little bit. I said, "Hello, I would like to order." And she very rudely came back over the speaker and said, "Uber Eats only right now. We're only doing Uber Eats."
Ooh.
Oh wow,
that's insane.
See, that's like they just turned it into a cloud kitchen. That's fucked up. Like I remember, and similar to the soulless angle of Taco Bell, I was drunk screaming at a dinner party we had the other night at my girlfriend's friends about how Dolly Parton was doing an ad for the newly re-released Mexican pizza and how happy Dolly was. Which, first of all, how much money do you fucking need, right? Like
exactly.
To just debase yourself
you
in that way,
part.
Right? Yeah, you know, like. Yeah. You're this elegant artist of our time and you're just going to, I don't know, but either way, that's neither here nor there. But the idea that like the Mexican pizza just was given like the McRib treatment. It's this artificial scarcity that's like, and people are just falling for it like fucking rubes. And it pisses me off because they took this away. We could have had it the whole fucking time. And I just, you know, we used to be a proper country, I guess is my point.
It's
true. We did.
It really is a watermark for where we're at as a country. I feel like people soy facing for the Mexican pizza.
Yeah. Honest to God.
On a single income, you used to be able to buy a house with a yard, have three kids, and go to Taco Bell at midnight.
Of course.
When
and no one ever heard of Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And now they're trying to placate us
honestly,
with different
that
levels
is like
of
my
hot sauce.
New, like, big, it's not that new, actually. But my big culture war thing now is like not getting stuff delivered. Like that's soy to me. It's getting your food delivered.
No, I'm kind of with
man,
you there.
I pick up my food from Chipotle by myself.
Right. Like, you're saving that $4.
I mean?
I'm with you. Like, well, no, I'm honestly, because like I had a roommate who I think was maybe on the spectrum in some capacity, but would order delivery like 3 times a day. He would get Taco Bell delivered. He would get breakfast delivered. Like he'd get pancakes delivered and like enough to save. No,
food.
Yeah. Honest to God.
Yeah.
And like, it was a routine thing that I would open up the fridge we all shared and there would be pancakes in there in a fucking like a clamshell
like
Tupperware.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And it would just be the day after he got like groceries delivered.
And that's the heat has condensed. Like it, like, best case scenario, when you get pancakes delivered, the condensation from the steam of the hot food has condensed on the top and is dripping down and soaking them. And that's it's just they're disgusting.
Yeah.
And you're not getting pancakes. Like, I don't know. Just really that is when I get, I think, my most reactionary about bloodlines and who will survive the fall of civilization is the kind of people who
and it is somehow I mean probably because they're doing multiple deliveries at a time, but it is always somehow the worst possible version of the food you could be getting when you get it delivered.
Right.
It's just soggy and horrible. Mm-hmm. And then because they don't know if it comes in a styrofoam thing, you got to crack that baby open on the drive home.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
I think
they're not doing the advanced technique.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I mean.
They're not getting paid to, so.
That's a good point. I
don't care. No, that's, hold on. Back that up.
All right, let's do it.
That's not my problem, first of all. I'm not mad at the person, but I reserve the right to be upset about the service. You know what I mean? Like
fair.
I don't have to like
I mean,
the
I think
result.
That is just another function of, like, the despicable system that we are all forced to live in is, like, you have to, like, launder your... You have to launder your anger or just check yourself and be like, okay, well, something is being done wrong to me. Like, my pancakes are soggy, but I can't be mad because somebody's just trying to make a living. And that's true. And it's like, it shouldn't be that way, but it's just like,
yeah. But also I don't want to eat soggy pancakes.
Right, yeah, of course. Yeah. And now Uber Eats is all too happy to make us like, to have them take the heat. And, one day we'll all come for that.
Boy, talk about a deflation of expectations.
Right. Yeah. Well,
sometimes you need a pressure release. And I've always said, you know how they have those those rage rooms where you can take a sledgehammer to a TV or whatever.
Oh, sure.
I think they should have rage rooms where it's just like you're standing in line at a grocery store and you can just say whatever you want to the cashier. You can just scream at them. And they purposefully have somebody cut in line, or they ring something up wrong and overcharge you, and you just get to
Let them have it.
Well, no, I mean, celebrities have that. They have like these things where you can go in a room and pay a guy and you just call him the N-word.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, I remember Chrissy Teigen was like kind of the first one who ever did that. Had her like courtroom
before
jester.
She got stung by that bee. R.I.P. Chrissy.
Gone too soon.
There should be a remake of that movie Hostel, but instead of going there to torture people, they go in there and whisper slurs to them.
Yeah, right. Costco, maybe. I don't know. We'll work on it. But
I like how Dick's Last Resort is like the reverse of that.
Yeah, that's true. You go to that or like fucking Ed DeBevics and they're mad. They're
it's
mean
like,
to
you.
You
know what? I've been doing fucking food service for 15 years. I've climbed the ladder. Now I get to fucking yell words. I bet there's lines that you
now
can't
I get
do.
To call. Now I get to call your your cutie a slur.
Yeah. I always wonder with Dick's Last Resort, like if somebody comes in that is truly profoundly ugly or has some like horrible is a waiter like, hey, somebody swap tables with me. I can't be trusted around this.
My parents love that place. Like,
really?
Whenever there's a Dick's in whatever city they're going to, because they live like, you know, in a small town that doesn't have a Dick's, but like, you know, they'll go to Minneapolis or whatever, and they're like, we got to go to Dick's, right? Which I don't know how like the food is there, but like they could.
Well, the one in San Antonio has a Michelin star.
I was gonna say,
but like, you know,
I was gonna say, you guys come down here, we'll go to San Antonio, we'll hit the Riverwalk.
Yeah,
go to.
Yeah. I've never been. I hear the Riverwalk's nice.
Well, like my dad is bald and like, you know, used to be like fat too, and they used to like bully him for that. So like, you can at least do that. You can go that far.
I don't think they probably say anything about.
I would be surprised if they still made jokes about people's weight.
Yeah,
I don't know. This wasn't that long ago.
Well, I don't know. So, I mean, I think I don't think cancel culture is not made it to Dick's yet. You know what I mean? Like the kind of people who go there aren't. First of all, you kind of know what you expect, and second of all, their business model revolves around being mean. So I'm not sure they're the first ones that are going to implement corporate sensitivity training across the board. Yeah. Although I don't know, fucking maybe. But what I've always said they should do is just get like black middle schoolers to work there, because they are the meanest people on earth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Popeyes near me might just be a Dick's Last Resort, because they're really mean to me.
That's true. You got a lot of teenagers in Chicago.
Oh my God. Yeah, anything. It's just blank looking ass right and left all day.
Yeah.
Right. looking at beard looking ass.
What's the hot dog place up north?
Oh, yeah. We got the Wiener Circle in Chicago.
The Wiener Circle, right.
And you'll get a kick out of this. You can look it up, or I'll find it and send it to you. But it's Lori Lightfoot was there with her partner, and they just tore into her. And it's a hot dog spot where the wait staff are. It's that
they say whatever they want. It's two black women.
Yeah,
right. I think the Triumph, the comedy dog, go there.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Conan.
He went there. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's nice. The sort of thing too. Where
right,
like,
well, she said, she's like, if you don't like fuck your wife, like I'll fuck her or something like that. And Lori's just like, ha ha ha, you know.
Lori's like, I got the biggest dick in Chicago.
See, right.
That's the thing, is that Lori can take it.
Uh-huh. She decides every day that she picks violence, I guess.
I have a good story about this. So I went there for the first time like a couple weeks ago.
Really? Wiener Circle?
I had never been.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
With who?
With Helen. Oh. After we had like gone to a show. And I went there and, you know, you get a bunch of people who go in and try and like give it back, and it's just like really cringe because like they're not having
like
it.
When you go to like a Stav show and the
right, exactly,
right, yeah. Like I can riff with you.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
But at the Wiener Circle, it's like at a certain point, like okay, you're yelling at a working black woman, and that's like what are the optics there? Like what do you want? What are you getting out of this?
Yeah.
And, I support.
And this guy went in there, right? He went in there alone, and like he was. I don't know, maybe this like drunk 25-year-old like white kid, and he came in and he was getting like a bunch of like plain hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was giving him shit for getting a bunch of plain hot dogs. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what to say. Like, it's this fag's birthday. And then she's like, what? It's just Fruitcake's birthday. But I think she like legit didn't hear him. She wasn't like, don't so say funny. That. But like, he like walked it back immediately. And then just like sat awesome. In the corner and didn't say anything.
Yeah, I want to go back in there with a live grenade with the pin pulled out. Like, yeah.
who's the cracker ass, pasty ass white boy now, huh?
I just show up like that guy at Comet Ping Pong.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now who's an uglier Kramer, huh? That is so funny. The guy self-censored himself. Was like,
yes,
like the cashier was gonna come for him. Like, hey, everybody, look at this white boy. He don't know about intergenerational trauma. Right.
Yeah. It was so funny because like she clearly did not have a problem with him saying fag. It was like she legit like didn't hear him. He's like, it's this fruitcake's birthday.
Just pushed it out
and
so
then
quick.
She was just like, what do I care about whose birthday it is?
Oh man.
Hey, we got a class reductionist over here. Class reductionist.
Hit the lunk alarm. Yeah, get him out.
Hey, this man's scared that I'm not home.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the whole experience there. People either going in being surprised by what they see because they don't know what it is and just want a hot dog, or people going in there trying to give it back and it's just like, it's so cringe.
Yeah.
You can't. You just got to take it.
You go in there, you take one, you pay, and you enjoy your hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a karaoke night at a sushi place. I think it closed down not long after this, but I had never been there before and I hadn't really heard anything about it. But it was hosted by like a Chinese guy. He like owned mm-hmm. He was an Asian guy and he owned the sushi place. I'm not gonna say what it's called. And he would get up and he would like do his little like jokes in between people doing karaoke.
Of course.
He was like hosting it, you know, emceeing. Uh-huh. And he, during the night, he, at one point, whenever a black man came up to sing a song, he had some commentary about race relations, the black tribe.
Oh, geez.
And the Asian tribe are the words. These are his words, not mine. And it was like one of the most supremely awkward things, but it was also, one of the funniest, most enjoyable.
Like he was up there, like trying to like be a big ally, and was just like kept saying, "By
no, he was just like riffing." Right? Oh. He was like, "Oh yeah, people say black guys have big dicks and Chinese guys have small dicks. It's true. I have a small dick." Ha ha ha. And it was like everybody was just like, "Okay."
It's like,
and then there was a woman in a wheelchair, and he was like, "Do a donut, do a donut."
Oh wow,
that sounds awesome.
And everybody's just like, "I signed up for Total Eclipse of the Heart an hour ago, and we got to listen to this guy's type five."
It was really crazy. But then I had the same thought. Like, you know, I guess the people that come here kind of know what to expect. It seems like people are fine mm-hmm. with it. It's just, damn, yeah. I didn't know this. They had this kind of stuff.
It's wild.
So, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Well, shit. What were we were talking about a movie. I forgot what it was.
Cuties.
Cuties, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also thinking Cuties has, similar to the other movie we watched, I thought it had some pretty visceral fight scenes. I thought the fight scene between the first one, between the
girls at the
Hispanic
little,
girl and then Yasmin, it seemed like she was just slapping the shit out of her. It seemed
right,
really
yeah.
well done.
No, it is like full on contact. And
yeah.
What the fight seems so they're upset because she turned her camera on while they're playing chat roulette.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
Well, she intentionally sort of humiliated her prettier friend. Yasmin did, because I think that was the same friend who made a comment earlier about her going on a diet.
Yeah.
And then, so whenever they were talking to the boy, she sort of like pushed the laptop in front of her friend and like turned the camera on.
Oh.
I think knowing that the guy would be like, oh, you're younger than, you know, what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And sort of humiliated her as revenge. That was my interpretation.
Gotcha. They're just pretty cutthroat, those kids. I got to tell you, it was not
this. I mean, the real takeaway from this is that little girls are really mean.
Are monsters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was funny. Like, I was watching this with my girlfriend, and, like, the entire movie, she was just like, oh, yeah, girls do this. Girls do this. Girls do this. I'm like, this is horrifying. Like,
yeah.
As someone who, like, grew up with, like, very, like, macho friends who were like trying to outdo each other and like beat each other up. This looks way worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I was watching my girlfriend and I was like, they bleed from where? What? That happens? Yeah. Oh my God, what?
No, I was like, I was strong on the anti-Yasmin train. Like, I was glad when she got pushed in the river.
Yeah, Which, okay. I'm glad they lent credence to the possibility that she might drown.
Here's the, you know, the first time I watched it, I was just like half watching it to get a taste while I was working out, and I didn't see the shot where she gets onto the buoy.
The testosterone. Right.
Well, I missed the shot where she gets her hand on the buoy, and so I walked away from that scene being like, she killed her. So she just killed her. And but honestly, like, seemed fitting for a movie where Ami has like zero consequences for any of her actions. Like, she, like, you know,
well, they
her brother floods the house, but like, you know, she's supposed to be watching, and like, you never see like the mother like get upset about it, which is like kind of what you expect after that. She throws her mom's phone out the window, and like
her mom's kind of like impressed by that, though. That. She, because like, I think because the mom at this point knows that she knows about the second wife, and she drops the phone out the window, and the mom's just kind of like, "Damn, baller ass move," you know?
Like, also, ice cold.
Well, that's my phone. That's the thing.
But also, that's my phone.
The mom isn't like really able to bring herself to like punish her daughter for doing these things, because she is like really devastated by her husband taking a second wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
hopefully that so like transfers over to when she like gets called in, like, "Hey, your daughter committed murder." She's like, "Well, you know, I'm dealing with this other stuff, so no big deal."
You know, I cannot get the mental image out of my head of like you on the stair climber with an iPad watching cuties at
That's
just
good.
Really, really wearing a like ankle weight.
No, I was at home, thankfully. Yeah.
It's that tweet where the guy's like reading Mein Kampf on the subway but shaking his head every 10 minutes to let people know he thinks it's bad.
Well, it was funny, so like we were in a group chat with some friends, and like we were talking about movies, and I sent a picture of, I was watching Cuties on the projector, and I sent a picture of it, and our friend Jack was like, "Haha, I hope that like your neighbor didn't walk by as you were like doing that joke." And I'm like, "It's not a joke."
For the second
this
time.
This is who I am now.
And the two of you Cuties motherfuckers watch it with your girlfriends. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess you got the response.
My girlfriend watched it with me too.
Really? All three of you? Jesus Christ. I don't know. I probably could have got my girlfriend to do it, but
yeah.
You got to pick your battles sometimes.
I mean,
she was
just kind of there. So.
But
my real girl watched it with me.
I was going to say.
No, go ahead.
We got to talk about this. I don't want to forget. The last shot of the movie.
Uh-huh, where she her, like kind of floats up into the sky.
Effect, yeah.
Where she's just jumping up, dude.
Yeah.
That I was like, I liked the whole movie, and I was like, by the end, I was like, damn, I really liked that. And then that happened, and I was like, I wish. I liked that it was like she was finally happy whenever she sort of had.
Yeah.
Like,
she found her two happy middle,
like there was like the very conservative family church stuff, and then there was the like hyper like whatever sexualized, completely secular, neoliberal, et cetera, mm-hmm. world. And both had sort of burned her.
Right.
Right. Like, or she couldn't really, didn't feel comfortable there. But whenever her mom sort of showed some compassion and acknowledged that she was like unhappy with the situation and sort of allowed her to share, like shared that with her daughter and allowed her daughter to sort of make her own choice, then she was like happy to be there playing with the kid and stuff. And I thought it was a nice ending, but then that last shot just pissed me off.
Yeah, it's like, what is this, the end of fucking Grease where they fly up in the
I was about to sign a petition to get it removed.
But
a rat that crawls across the screen.
That's another thing, like, I think just like in terms of the general backlash, like it was shocking to me how like I feel like unambiguous the message was about like how the world that she found herself enveloped in was bad. You know, like, I think there's just enough disapproval at every turn. I mean, the first shot of the movie is like her crying on stage, right? If I remember correctly, like there's a very brief second where she's like in tears on stage. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess now I know to disapprove of the scantily clad 11-year-olds. Thank you for telling me. Right.
Right.
Yeah, and so like, yeah. And you can argue whether or not that's a good or a bad choice. And I guess I don't really mind either way. It's just like, the point is like, I just feel like it's, like I said, there's just no ambiguity there. And like all the other girls, like at some point have their own kind of vulnerabilities expressed, like her friend in the building, whose name I forget, Angelica, I think, is like, oh, my parents, you know, are split up and they never spend any time with me. And I feel like if I dance, then if they see me dance, they'll like finally love me and things like that. Almost to a point where sometimes it feels a little heavy handed, although it's hard to argue they didn't do enough considering the backlash.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, I mean, even like, you know, I don't share quite the same thoughts on the movie that you guys have. It is like baffling to me to think that like anyone could walk away from this movie thinking that this movie is like intent on like enabling like pedophilia or the sexualization of children.
Or that the most efficient way to experience child pornography is to watch a 90-minute feature film.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like my perspective is that it fails at that, ends up sort of like halfway becoming like what it, you know, hates.
Okay, I don't know how you can
possibly like the message of the movie, I think, is pretty clear.
Yeah.
I just don't know that it's like aesthetically like reinforced.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that though. Because
I think that's a really fair, that's a very fair critique, right? That it like ends up sort of becoming what it hates in a way.
Yeah.
But I think it's the same kind of like moralistic flattening of things that people do sort of like from the left more so,
mm-hmm.
with where like depiction is endorsement. Basically.
Right. Yeah.
It's that same thing, but it's just from the opposite side. It's reactionary.
Right. Right? Yeah. And like, you know, certainly propelled by like the popularity of QAnon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that's sort of like what this is certainly born out of. Like, I don't know that like cuties would have been as big a deal were not like pedophile hunting, like such a huge thing. Right. Like this movie could have just as well just like, minus the poster, minus the popularity of QAnon, this movie could have just as easily just meant
really
you know,
flew
ended
under
up in
the radar,
dustbin of Netflix.
Yeah, because there's a lot of weird. I mean, remember that movie Hard Candy? That came out a while back.
Like, oh
that's
a
weird. That's a really weird movie, and I don't remember it. I don't remember because I mean, obviously, it doesn't end up being an actual child, but for most of that movie, you don't know that, and so that movie, I don't remember it being like controversial at all. Like, there's a lot of stuff that is
well,
a
what about
lot
like?
More,
I mean, this is. I mean, Leon the Professional, like there's a bunch of movies where you're like, so it's this like newfound incredulity at like artistic expression.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I said that right.
I like, there's a few times in this movie where it's a little heavy handed or ham fisted where they're trying to like weed out anyone there who's like jerking off where they go to the laser tag arena. And they get kicked out, and the one guy comes, and he's like kind of like liking the way they're dancing. And
the most sloven like, pedophile looking guy.
Yeah,
And
the other guy's like, "What the fuck, dude? What are you doing?" And it's kind of like the director saying, "Like, hey, if any of you are doing this,
yeah,
this
cut
is
it
not
out
the movie for you." Yeah.
But it was genius because in the same fell swoop, it sort of showed like. They don't really understand the way they're sexualizing themselves, but at the same time they could flip it around on this unsuspecting person, mm-hmm. and weaponize it even though they don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
But then showing the other side of like that guy being like, damn, okay, these girls are dancing. Right. That's what's up.
One thing like I do like
I thought that was smart.
Like the most like
where are all the white children at?
The thing I give this movie probably like most like credit for, because like, I do feel like a lot of it like does fall into like really like contrived cliches is like it like you do think it's going to like you're waiting for the rape scene, right? Or the molest scene. But like
I was waiting for it.
But, like you expect
on the edge of my sheath. Come on, any minute now. Get her.
But, like
get her,
all of the men in the movie are just like, oh no, get away from me. You're kids, right? Like it doesn't like
even the other kids.
It is more interested in like how kids like sexualize themselves based on like engineering, right? Mm-hmm. It is not interested in like, hey, here's trauma inflicted on you by, like, you know, men. You know, she tries to, like, strip for that guy. He's like, no, what the fuck's wrong with you? Just give me my phone.
Right.
And, like, even,
yeah,
like,
I thought that was going to get ugly for a minute, too.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's smart because they're saying, like, even in the best case scenario,
right, mm-hmm.
this is what the, like, ultimate, just, like, hyper-individual self-expression do.
She still feels compelled to take a crotch shot.
Is the only, like, structure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is like the best case scenario for raising a child in that, basically, because all of the kids in their own way are sort of raising themselves, mm-hmm. where Ami is like her mom is sort of is not only depressed, but she's also like so conservative that she can't like talk to her about anything really, uh-huh. that's like going on in her life. Mm-hmm. And then Angelica, right, her parents are like divorced and busy, so they're sort of absentee parents.
Yeah.
So she is sort of raising herself in that way. And then Yasmin has hyper permissive parents, seemingly.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, right. The cool mom.
Her
yeah.
mom is just like trying to be their friend or whatever. So it's like all the different ways in which these kids have sort of too much freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's too much freedom, but they don't have any guidance to like deal with what they're experiencing.
I kept going back.
Ami's dad is marrying the Moon Knight, which I thought was cool. The second one. That was a really scary.
The little brother says, "Oh, there's a ghost in our house." Like,
yeah.
I kept thinking that every time, like so much in this movie, like, holy shit, am I glad I don't have kids? Because like, what do you do? Right. And I think the answer, as we just touched on, is, OK, you be around. But for just a lot of people on this planet, that is not an option. Right. And
no. Yeah.
And then so what's the answer to that? Right. It's just like then they are really just offered up to the algorithm. And
well, you do a twerking sexual exorcism, apparently.
Oh, that's true. That was they were like hitting her with like spray bottles of water. It's really sure what to make of that scene, other than it didn't look like it worked.
I did think it was interesting how in one scene they had that like the like priest guy, I don't know what you call
the mufti
Islam, but like, you know, the dude who came by. Mm-hmm.
That's what you call
him.
Like,
the dude who comes.
No, it's a mufti.
A gentleman caller.
Okay. Right,
yeah. And he was like, basically, like, you know, there's no demonic possession stuff going on. Like, and then also, like, was like, hey, and you know, technically.
Yeah. You can get divorced. That was surprising, too.
So it was like, I don't know how accurate that stuff is culturally because I don't know anything about it. But like, I thought it was interesting that there was sort of the initial heavy-handedness and then
a softening.
Sort of like they let you get really mad about the secularized society and then come back with the religious thing being like, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, it kind of squares that circle a little bit because I think one of the most annoying things that we experience on our section of the internet is like the Tradcath stuff and like, oh, only, you know, Shia Law can solve the decadence of the West or whatever. I just think that's so tiresome. And again, not to sound like a Reddit atheist or anything, but I was happy that they didn't kind of shut the fuck up.
I noticed you're enlightened by your own intelligence.
No, I'm feeling pretty euphoric right now. Not gonna lie.
Do you enjoy making quotes?
Because, like, you know, I think it does. It shows that there is valuable structure in that sort of tradition, but that it eventually hits a wall and doesn't have an answer for the version of modernity under Western capitalism that exists. And you know, it's just it goes back to what I said a minute ago, where thank God I don't have kids because I don't know what to do about that.
Right. It was interesting to see the mom freak out to the point where she was saying, like, you dress like a whore, I'm gonna kill you, like, I hate you, like, horrible shit, and the aunt stepping in to, like, stop the mom from slapping around her daughter, and then at the end kind of coming to terms with maybe her role in the daughter's feeling alienated and ostracized and kind of adrift. And so when the auntie was then like berating her, the mom stepped in and said, like, look, you don't have to do this. Like, this is without saying a whole lot, but just kind of reassuring her that she understands maybe now where the struggle's coming from.
Right.
Yeah. And it shows that, like, despite the constraints of a traditional structure like that, that there are sort of checks and balances in place where you have more than just like, mom with these kids, and those are the only people in their support system. If you have like a wider network of people that are like helping you, like as a, you know, like in a family environment, that there can be these sort of like, if there's another person around to be like, hey, actually, this is not what you should be doing, actually, even though I understand why you feel that way.
Yeah.
So we need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
it was just, it provided a surprisingly nuanced view of their like traditional religious family stuff without sort of like mystifying it, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I'll give you that. What do you think?
Yeah, well, to go like, do you have a comment on that before I segue here?
No, I'm interested because it seems like the three of us kind of are in agreement, and I know you're, I'm sure you're chomping at the bit.
No, yeah, I mean, I think that the two things, like, first, like, I think that, you know, to go back to like what we were saying about, you know, a depiction is not an endorsement, you know, yeah, I think that like I am like constantly baffled that like, you know, people want to like, so first off, I think most people that like really upset and like out protesting Cuties like have not seen it.
Yeah.
You know?
Almost certainly not.
100%.
And I think like there are like much more like pedophilic endorsed like tendencies in media that like mm-hmm. do deserve like the ire of the public that like aren't out there. Things like Riverdale and Euphoria, I think are like objectively like, if not, don't have like the stated like objective of doing so, like do like grotesquely like sexualize like teenagers.
There's
and
more
like
meat
that.
On the bone think, to suggest like normalization.
And that's like the difference between like, yeah, presentation, like how something is presented versus like, you know, someone who's just sort of like naively being like, oh, because this exists, I'm not thinking about like context or whatever. And so just because Cuties exist, I'm going to, you know, go out and protest about it or mm-hmm. whatever, rather than looking at like maybe what something like Euphoria is doing like with teenagers in terms of like how it's like being presented. And, you know, I like something that I was thinking about a lot with Cuties was I like went and saw Showgirls recently. Right. And I think Showgirls is a very interesting film and sort of like subverting like how like pornography is like presented to an audience. Right. And Verhoeven is like probably the best at doing like what I think you guys are talking about. This, the film is effectively doing like sort of like embellishing in something that like you are critiquing, and thus like there is a critique there, right? Like,
yeah, Starship Troopers.
Yeah, right. And like, and I think that's kind of what like you guys are saying about Cuties. Like, it makes you uncomfortable because the director is like embellishing in some of this like music video stuff and the way that like the camera is objectifying also. And I guess I could see like that is like an effective technique. I guess I would just like doesn't work for me like in mm-hmm. this film, but like in something like Showgirls, I think is like very, very effective. And I think that the difference for me there in that, like, I think Showgirls is more, I think just more apparent in like wanting to like challenge like the audience itself and makes it like goofier mm-hmm. to where I feel, and maybe it is like the fact that I feel like more comfortable with Showgirls as an audience member because the critique is a little bit more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe,
you know, maybe that says something more about me as a viewer.
Scene is so weird.
Right. Until you said Verhoeven, I thought you were talking about Dreamgirls.
Oh no.
You remember that movie?
Yes.
Where Beyonce's plays the Temptations or whatever.
No, not that one.
That's not. Oh. I got it wrong.
Like Showgirls, I think is having like more of an open and recognizable like dialogue with like, you know, how complicit like an audience is with like the pornography on screen. And I don't know, maybe it says more about me like as a viewer that like unless I have like more of like a stated endorsement or acknowledgement from the filmmaker that I like I'm not willing to like give credit to like Cuties maybe engaging in that same kind of embellishment critique.
This gets back to a question that Beaumont asked me recently, and I think that it's not something that I've thought about too much, but like whenever I watch or read something, like I don't really care about what the artist intended. I'm interested in that. I sort of want to know what it is, and I can kind of try to figure it out.
Sure.
But
you don't want to let some nerd get in the way of you having a good time.
All the myriad interpretations of the work. And so like even if some pervert made this to be horny for, I still think that it's like a good movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'd have some questions about the guy, I guess, and how we got to that position. Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, it's a whole death of the author question, I think. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, like, and that's something. Yeah, we've talked about a lot here how like artist intent and like personal life like sometimes deviates from their work, and that makes it like more interesting. You know, an example like I like to come back to a lot is like S. Craig Zahler, who like I think openly states that he's like making right wing films.
Who's
and
that?
I think
what did he do?
Brawl in Cell Block 99 and Dragged Across Concrete.
Okay.
And I think he's trolling when he says that, but even if he's not, like, for me, that's not what he's actually making as well. So I would agree.
Yeah, and it's also like it's impossible to make a purely objective movie without letting your biases and like internal politics or philosophy seep into it. And you wouldn't want that anyways. Right.
But the worldview of his movies is very reactionary.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's just like also sort of a type of action movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good movie. Uh-huh. It makes a good movie.
I love Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Bone Tomahawk rules, dude. I love Kurt Russell.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, maybe Kitties would be better if they had one of the like one of those fight scenes ended with them like holding one of the girls like and splitting them with a huge bone axe.
Yeah.
Is that what happens in Kurt
Russell was one of the It is probably one of the most gruesome things I've seen in like a studio
film.
I'm
not a big gore guy, I gotta tell you.
It is so graphic, yeah.
It's very graphic.
He gets scalped and then the scalp gets put in his mouth and stabbed into his mouth. And then he gets flipped upside down after that and just like chopped in half.
Well, that
like
seems excessive.
Ed Gein style.
Gross. Yeah. Why?
And it's set in Chicago in the 90s.
Yeah. They're savages.
Right. So how about the scene where I did not know that you could disinfect a wound with a bag of cocaine and spit.
I was so confused as to what was happening.
I didn't know you could do that.
Me neither.
I've never heard
in
of
cuties?
That before.
Yeah.
Since. I don't know anything about
she
that.
She puts spit on cocaine and disinfects the wound.
Oh, they hit her with a rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
They literally throw a rock in her face. And then they're friends.
Oh, which, by the way, I meant to send this in the chat.
I assume that was some kind of weird European medicine.
I thought it was flour or sugar or something.
Last time I got sick in Europe, I got some weird eucalyptus pills. So I don't know what they do.
Yeah, all kinds of goofy shit over there.
Yeah,
God knows,
they don't know anything about medicine.
Well, because they did. Because like, there's that scene where something is applied to her head, and then later, her friend Angelica puts like it's not lipstick because she said it isn't lipstick, but it was like,
what the hell was that?
If it's not lipstick,
I think it was for like
acrylic
to
paint.
Help her chapped lips.
Oh.
But it does have like a thick like color and moisture to it.
Like sunscreen, goopy. Maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And even glossiness
to it.
I think it
was homemade Carmex.
lemon
icing.
European
Carmex.
It's cream cheese icing.
Oh, God, yeah. That's the...
you know, well, another thing
either
I thought...
Either that or she was like... Well, never mind.
Well, no. So, speaking of the other like kind of themes in the movie or like the rock throwing scene, I thought it was interesting showing... And I'm not sure how much of this, again, was intended, but I thought it was an interesting look at the way kind of bullying works in schools.
Yeah.
Because she was initially bullied by those girls, but this is something that I had always felt growing up as well, which was like, of course there are horrible, horrible over-the-top like assault that other kids are doing to each other.
Right.
But like some bullying and ribbing and making fun of, I think kids sometimes use that to test the boundaries and like use humor and poking fun to like suss out if you're an interesting person or if you can hang.
Yeah.
And I thought this movie did a pretty good job at showing that. Where these girls are pretty mean, like they're pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's still cruel.
But the girl kept coming back in showing that she wasn't like devastated by it and could hang and then ended up becoming good friends. And I thought that was interesting because I definitely, growing up, like, you know, you'd get picked on or something, but would end up being friends with some of those kids too. It's just kind of the way kids.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause I think that's what childhood is experimenting and, you know, kicking the tires about adulthood and figuring that out. And more often than not that, you know, those mistakes are not, you know, mortal wounds, but like we were talking about earlier with the advent of social media, the gravity is just like the stakes are just, it raised so dramatically and it can lead to awful things.
Rick and I talk about a lot is how like each friend group has the kid who gets excessively bullied, though.
Yeah.
And it's usually the one...
Well, you have to have a release.
The sin eater, of course.
And it's usually the one who can't take it, though, which like lends credence to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because like it's most enjoyable to watch, you know, like you want to bully the kid who gets the most like reaction out of. Like it's not fun to bully someone who either A, can give it back to you worse, or B, just sort of like it rolls off of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who like, you know, fucking... Reese every time like you make fun of him is hilarious. And I was telling Rick, you know, like the guy who was that in my friend group growing up is now like 100 pounds heavier, still lives at home and delivers pizza, and I don't think that's
so
an accident.
You guys broke him.
We broke him.
Well, at least you got out all right.
But that just, you know, it goes to show you, hang.
Yeah, you got. Listen, you got to be able to riff. You got to be able to shoot one back.
Right.
Well, you know, you just don't take what other people say too seriously.
Right.
You know? Like you have to be able to. Sometimes people are cruel, but you know, you can't let it get to you too much because it'll drive you crazy.
As this movie showed, maybe figure out how to fucking twerk it. Maybe figure out how to throw that thing in a circle like a cyclone.
Yeah. Taylor Colby should have learned how to twerk and he would not more or be less. Delivering pizza. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it is that kind of resonated me, the idea that like, okay, she was only finally accepted when she figured out how to like be their thing, but like harder or more, you know, where like, When I was trying to get in with the cool kids in middle school and they were all talking about drinking beer, I was like, yeah, well, I did heroin or whatever. And they're like, oh, wow, that's pretty neat. Like, it's always you got to escalate to one up them. And no, I didn't do heroin in seventh grade.
What was the story of the kid who tried to one up about having sex?
Oh, God. That's right. What the fuck was that?
Yeah. Well, someone asked me.
So we were at Boy Scout camp, right? And so we're in like fifth grade.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. And or not that seventh or eighth. I don't know. Yeah, probably this
Boy Scout or
Cubs. Yeah, this wasn't Cubs. Yeah, this was Boy Scouts. Well, not okay. I was long since a Weeblo at this point. But sure, so yeah, sure. We'll stay in the seventh or eighth grade mark. Very virginal territories for all parties involved.
I want to make sure you're not stealing guys. as a alumnus myself.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, you gotta harp on that. But so we're all around the campfire and doing what young boys do best, which is lie to one another, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're all talking about girls we've made out with at camp or like on the block or in the neighborhood or whatever. And oh yeah, Bobby LaPiana was like, we were like, how many girls have you made out with? And he was like, depends. Are we counting sluts? Which is a great way to say zero, really.
Yeah, what about scallywags? Like,
that is like the funniest way to double down, because like doubling down is a great defense mechanism, but like sometimes it's so obvious when you double down too far where it's like, okay, zero is the answer.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, because you know, and it's like, I remember there was a younger kid at camp, Boy Scout camp, who like we had him demonstrate that he could come, right? So we told him like, all right, because we were all talking about how much we love beating off and now it's the best thing in the world. And when you're in eighth grade, it is. Yeah. And
still is.
There was a kid a couple years younger and we're like, there's no way you could fucking bust yet. And he was like, yeah, I can. And so we had him go into the latrine with a little Dixie cup and he came back with some liquid that was red. Right? And so we were all like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, I don't know, it's cum. And we're like, no, you can't cum yet, dude. You're lying. You're not a cummer yet. You fucking, I don't know.
You're the girl this week, remember? You can't cum. Yeah, I like the idea of come right now so I know you're not a cop.
Yeah.
Come right now so I know you're cool.